This will be an abbreviated message, and it's intentionally that way. So if I don't get through all of the information, that's okay. We'll get to it by and by, but I will have us look at the text of Hebrews 7. Again, as I mentioned earlier, I don't like to rush through the Lord's Supper, and I think it's imperative for us to take time to think about it. I have been pastoring of churches that have this once a month. I have participated with churches that have done this less. And certainly, I have heard of churches that do this every Sunday. I think that is a bit much, but that's my personal take on it. I think it can become too much of a routine, and we lose the focus on this. But even doing it every other month as we do, I think it's good for us to consider not just the basic instruction that Jesus gave to his disciples, but some of the ramifications of what comes about through our observing this and what is the background to this. And Hebrews is a great book of the Bible for us to consider many nuances of the relationship that the Lord's Supper holds in picture form for us personally. And so I had Bryden read Hebrews 5 with a purpose, just to kind of get us thinking in light of the Hebrew instruction that the writer of Hebrews was giving. And the main theme there is that Jesus is superior. He's all in all. He's superior to the great prophets. He's superior to the judges. He's superior to anyone who ever lived on the face of the earth. He's superior. He's even superior in his priesthood. And this is where Hebrews 7 brings us, verses 20 through 28. I will read these and then have a brief prayer, and we'll take a few layers of this, of these verses, to heart here today. Hebrews 7, beginning with verse 20. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, speaking of the priests of Aaron. And but this was an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, change his mind. Thou art a priest forever out after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was king of Salem. He was one of a kind. He was not out of the tribe of Levi, which God gave to Moses to instruct everybody, every male of the Levites was to be considered as a priest. That was the priestly tribe. Melchizedek did not come from that tribe. He preceded that. I know it sounds strange. There's a reason. We'll get to it in just a moment. So we're dealing with the priests of Aaron and one priest that God gave the authority to by the name of Melchizedek. Verse 22, but so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. We'll explain that in a moment. And they truly were many priests, Aaron, the tribe of Levi, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. There was not this ongoing one priest forever because they died. Priests died. They were men. Verse 24, but this man, speaking of Jesus, because he continueth ever, he's eternal, he's the Son of God, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners. Wait a second. Was Melchizedek a sinner? Yes. Was Aaron and all those Aaronic priests? Yes, sinners, flesh and blood, born sinners. This priest is holy, harmless, in other words, innocent, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as the priest of Aaron, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, Jesus, who is consecrated forevermore. Let's pray. Father, help us with the time that we have as we consider this entire service focused on the observation of the reason, the purpose, the history of the Lord's table. What are the results of that? We have a great high priest, greater than Melchizedek, greater than all the priests of Aaron who served in the temple and the tabernacle. We have one high priest, Jesus, the ongoing, everlasting high priest, representing us before you. Help us, Lord, to have understanding. Give me clarity as I present this today. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled the message, Better Than Ever. And that's been a slogan for products along the way. It's been a message on TV and radio and all kinds of things promoting something better than ever. I was thinking about a 72 Chevy pickup truck I had back in the 90s. I'd take that for any new pickup truck today. I could actually get in where the engine cavity is and hop in and work on that while I sat on the wheel well. You can't do that in vehicles today, at least not too easily. But I could hop in it, work on it. It was a straight six-cylinder engine. I know I'm boring half of you already. But to me, that was the best. But there are things today that are being promoted as better than ever. Better than ever cleaner. Better than ever laundry detergent. Better than ever this, that, and the other. Well, they are slogans to advertise to grab your money. But this high priestly situation is better than ever because it's God, and it's God's way. If you were here last week, you were encouraged to read Mark chapter 14. If you did that, you recognize why I had you read that. It prepared us to focus on the exercise and engagement of the elements of the Lord's table. I want you to picture Jesus now sitting at the table in that upper room, not the blasphemous way in which we sadly saw on our TVs this past week, but picture Jesus in the form of Hebrews 5, which was read to us. It's the order, a priest after the order of Melchizedek, says chapter 5 and verse 6. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. He was obedient unto death. Paul puts it in the words of Philippians 2. Took upon himself the form of a man. Humbled himself, became a servant to die on a cross that you and I deserve to die on. But the reason why Jesus needed to die on it was because if we died for our sins, that's about as far as we would get. We would have paid for them. That doesn't make us right with God. That doesn't get us into heaven. What gets us into heaven is righteousness. Well, how do we get that? By believing on the righteous one, Jesus Christ, the pure, perfect, righteous, eternal Lamb that was slain on that cross that day, 2,000 plus years ago. Picture Jesus of chapter 7, the text that we've just read, a priest. He's made, verse 22, he was made a surety of the better testament. He was much more than the priest of the Old Testament. He's much more. It comes by way of an oath, a promise that God had made, not by a routine that God gave to a tribe. What they did was important. What they did was God's instruction. But it was temporary. It was a picture foreshadowing the Messiah coming as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. So what makes Jesus better than ever, better than any Old Testament priest, better than any Old Testament system, very detailed, that's been given to us in the book of Exodus? It's because Christ's priesthood is guaranteed. His priesthood is guaranteed in verses 20 and 20 through 22. A promised high priest who's appointed by an oath. God said in the likeness of Melchizedek, a promise that Jesus will fulfill, not just the position of a Melchizedek, not just fulfilling the practices of the tribe of Levi through the priestly line, doing all those sacrifices, remembering all those ceremonies, presenting all those truths and all that instruction, and having to go in once a year and representing the people, making a sacrifice for himself because he's a sinner, and then going in and making the sacrifice for the people. And within moments of walking out of that holy of holies, that holy place, men are sinning all over again. And 365 days later, they do it again. The priest for himself, the high priest, but not Jesus. He offered himself as the sacrifice. He offered himself representing God as the high priest, himself as the sacrifice for the sins of men. And it's a once for all sacrifice because it's done by a once and for all Savior. That high priest is Jesus Christ. Christ's priesthood is guaranteed. God the Father made a commitment, the Father's commitment to Christ's priesthood. And in this text here, we find the writer of Hebrews making comparisons and contrasts. The contrast of priests in the Old Testament, they didn't produce holiness. We read some passages that are very disturbing about what some of the priests did. Certainly God judged them, but they didn't produce holiness. What they did in their act of sacrifice didn't produce holiness. It was simple obedience. The shedding of blood in those sacrifices was a covering, not a cleansing. A covering. And there were many because they were mortal. They died. And if you go all the way back to Aaron, there were about 83 priests to the time of the destruction of the temple in AD 70. That's when the last sacrifices were done. No more Levitical high priests. They can no longer help you, is what the writer of Hebrews is saying. They can't help you. You need help. We all need help. But this was primarily targeted to the Hebrews, and as Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, said the gospel came first to the Jew and then also to the Greek. God's primary focus was seeing his people be delivered from their sins, being brought into a right relationship with God, the very God who rescued them out of Egypt and brought them across the Red Sea and gave them the promised land, a temporal picture of what each of us experience and will experience one day when we run to Christ. Seek his forgiveness, his cleansing, his salvation. There is no other one, there is no other way. Jesus was made a priest by an oath, a promise by God the Father. And that's why Melchizedek is raised from the Old Testament passages. Because we're told that Melchizedek came into this position back in Genesis by an oath. In fact, if you turn to Psalm 110, this is a messianic psalm. I won't say too much of it because I'm not sure if Don's going to get into that psalm or not this summer. In our adult Bible time, Sunday mornings, hope that you'll be able to make it next week. Here's the plug. All right. Let's just read down through 1 through 4. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, the Father to the Son, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, Jerusalem. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power and the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord, referring to Jehovah the Father, has sworn and will not repent, change his mind. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. A promise that the Father has made to the Son. A promise that he made to his people. A promise that you and I benefit from because the gospel has already been given to the Jew and now it's being given to us as well as Gentiles. That doesn't mean the gospel has stopped going to the Jews. It continues to go there, but it went to them first. Gentiles were second, and that gospel message is still to continue. But it's a message that represents the eternal high priest, Jesus Christ. There's a covenant that's made here, and it's a better covenant than the old one. This covenant produces holiness. Jesus died on the cross, rose again as the eternal priest. According to verse 24, this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the co-signer, if you will, of this covenant. Co-signed it with his blood. This covenant will be fulfilled because he's the mediator between God and man. He's the people's mediator. He's your mediator. He's the go-between between you and God. Later in this letter, we see that we're invited to go to the throne of grace. How do we do that? Because of our mediator, Jesus Christ, a better than ever mediator. We don't go to men. We go directly to God because of Jesus. So the commentary on Old Testament Melchizedek really provides for us a foundation that I don't want to run past here. So if I only wrap this up and get to the next point, I will be pleased and I hope that you will be helped. Melchizedek had a relationship with Old Testament Abraham, known then as Abram. And the Jews saw Abraham as the father of Israel. Christians see him as the father of all who believe, according to Romans chapter 4 and verse 11. Let me just turn there and read that for us here. It says, and he received the sign of circumcision, speaking again of Abram, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. In other words, he believed God. Obeyed God, believed God by faith. And the outward representation of that was this circumcision, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Abraham leads the way. He's the example. Following Abraham's way, Old Testament people, and you'll be heading in the right direction, and you will have been following the right God. That's a very quick summary of that. What the law provided the people in the arrangements of tithes and sacrifices and priests, Melchizedek did not receive tithes from any special commandment of the law. Those happened under the Levitical law with the priests of Aaron. He, Melchizedek, is the only figure that mirrors the Lord Jesus. Levitical priests died. Here's the mystery. We have no record of Melchizedek dying. Who was he? It's a mystery. But Melchizedek continued to serve God without an end. That's why God, in his infinite wisdom, chooses Melchizedek as the example for Jesus to follow in. A new priest after Melchizedek draws new believers near to God, even though God is a consuming fire. Melchizedek is greater than Levi. We see that in the verses 4 through 10 of chapter 7. He was greater than Abraham, for Abraham gave a tenth of his plunder when he overcame certain cities and gave them unto Melchizedek. He's superior to the Levites, the priestly tribe chosen by God. I repeat that because it's important for us to recognize this, that in religion today, in some religions, priests are a big deal. They are a huge figure in their worship. It really is an office that is no longer esteemed as an office. Because when we read all the way through our New Testament scriptures, believers are not only called saints, but we are called priests. We represent Christ. And our high priest is our mediator to God. We pray through the name or by the name of Jesus Christ, our high priest. God the Father, secondly here, God the Father provides a more secure promise. A more secure promise. This is really where we find the differences with Aaron and those priests based on the law. God commanded Aaron to assume the office in Exodus 28. But the priestly order of Melchizedek is by way of God's oath, his promise. One by the law, Levites, Aaron, the other by a promise, God the Father. And this makes the order of this priest Melchizedek doubly certain, doubly secure, and ultimately superior. And that's why God, in his infinite wisdom, brings Jesus alongside Melchizedek in that priestly order. God made a promise. God made an oath. And the delights of Christ's priesthood are very important for us. He is the one and only high priest. There are not a bunch of other priests running around in religious circles that represent Jesus, holding an office, wearing certain garb. That is not what the scriptures are teaching. We only have one priest. We have one high priest, Jesus Christ. He's superior. He's the promised one. His promises are secure. They're eternal. they're personal. He is able to secure eternal salvation to all who come and believe on him. Which begs the question, do you believe on him? Are you believing him? Are you trusting him? So the common expectations are exceeded, secondly, here. The common expectations are exceeded. I'll go back to verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament or promise, covenant. And they truly were many priests. Aaron and his priests. They were not suffered or allowed to continue because they were human. They died. But this man, Jesus, the Son of God, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. He's the one and only, always and forever. Wherefore he is able also to save them. He's able to do more than just do sacrifices and celebrate ceremonies and have special days of honor and remembrance. He is it. He is the one, the only one. So with that, I give you five things and we will close. The common expectations that are exceeded is that he is complete. He is the complete high priest. He is the complete sacrifice. He makes his priestly work complete. Whatever he does is full and finished, never needing to be repeated. We do not believe on a Jesus hanging on the cross. We believe in an empty cross, an empty tomb. And by faith, we believe what the scriptures teach. He is set down at the right hand of God the Father, ever making intercession for you and for me. That's this priest. That's what we celebrated. Secondly, a permanent high priest always lives to make intercession. He is a permanent high priest. He is complete, but he's also permanent. Thirdly, according to verse 25, he is our intercessor. He is our intercessor. He's the believer's intercessor. As we draw near to the throne of grace in prayer, at the same time, the Lord Jesus Christ is interceding for us at the right hand of God. I cannot wrap my mind around that, but I do appreciate it as much as I understand it. Turn with me, or at least write down, Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 and verse 34. Romans chapter 8, I want to read to you verse 26 and 34. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Talking about our weaknesses, our human weakness. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Have you been there this week? Trying to pray? Maybe trying to get back into the habit of prayer? Have a hard time getting it out. I don't even know what to pray anymore. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There's the Spirit of God praying for us. But wait, there's more. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth, Christian? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. What is Paul telling us in this great eighth chapter of Romans? We human beings are frail. Our humanness often triumphs. We feel defeated. We feel as if we cannot articulate the right words. And we have the Holy Spirit of God interceding on our behalf. And Christian, that's not the only wonderful blessing.
Jesus Christ, the Savior, the one who gave his body and blood for you, prays for you from the right hand of God the Father, speaking for you to him, the Father. You want somebody praying for you this week? You've got two. Jesus, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit of God. I know there are some times we feel like we're all alone. We don't know how to get through a trial. We don't know how to journey through the trouble. We don't know where the light at the end of the dark tunnel is. But Christian, you have the Spirit of God praying for you and with you. And based on Scripture, we believe by faith that Jesus Christ, the one who gave himself for you on the cross, was buried in a tomb, rose again, is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, talking to the Father about you. It's not gossip talk. Dear Lord, help them to have victory. Help them not to give into that temptation. Open their eyes to the truth as they glance at the Scripture. We're going to put Charlie to walk by his path. Help them to see them as a witnessing opportunity to share the goodness of God and the gift of eternal life. Lord, they're discouraged. Fill their heart with a desire to read, to rehearse, to remember the blessings of God. Better than ever. No human priest could ever do that. Letter D. What makes the Lord Jesus better than ever than any human priest? He's completely capable. The priests of Levi were not fully capable of doing anything but taking what they were told to do and performing it. And this is where verse 25 comes in. And I would be remiss if we didn't look at this. Wherefore he is able, Jesus, the high priest, the one who exceeds Melchizedek, super exceeds the Levitical priests. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. This word uttermost comes from two words in the Greek language. All, A-L-L, and another word that means complete end. He is able to save all the way to completeness. Do you ever doubt that you're saved? You ever feel like you're upside down, defeated, discouraged? Did I ever really get saved? Did Jesus really save me? Guess what? It's not dependent on you. It's dependent on him. He saves to the uttermost. I heard a visiting preacher put it this way. He saves those who are in the guttermost to the uttermost. Jesus paid for all those sins to redeem all who come to him by faith. To the very end, he saves you. He saves you completely. The high priest, the sacrifice, offering himself to Almighty God the Father, does so to save you and me to our complete end of salvation, to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We will go from having this to glorified bodies like our Savior. And then letter E, we have a perfect high priest offering the perfect once for all sacrifice. Once for all. He never sinned. I can't emphasize that enough. Jesus did not sin. He is not a sinner. Total flesh, total blood, full man, yet without sin. That's why he was born of a virgin. Joseph is not his father. God is his father. He has no need to offer sacrifices for his own sins. He is the spotless Lamb of God. Jesus is the perfect high priest, perfectly fitted to your needs and mine as a sinner. Levitical high priests were appointed these positions to carry out a duty, period. Any person who goes around calling themselves a priest in a religious organization has no power to do anything with your sin. Jesus alone does. We have the perfect high priest, better than ever. Do you know him as your Savior? If you do, celebrate him this week and be encouraged. The Spirit of God and the Savior, the Son of God, is praying for you. Father, help us today. Thank you for helping us to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, to remember the wonderful blessing of what you have done in our lives. And if someone's here and does not and has not experienced that joy of your salvation, I pray today, Lord, that they would not leave here until they settle that matter with you. We're thankful, Lord, that we have a Savior. We're thankful that we have a great high priest, promised by the Father, set down at the right hand of the Father, and works on our behalf that we might grow in his grace, understand his word, and seek to be faithful and obedient and made into the likeness of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us as we go on our way this week. May we be about our Father's business. May you use us for your glory. And may we have the privilege of leading someone to Jesus this very week. In Jesus' name we pray.